2 Peter chapter 2. We'll get there in just a few minutes. But I hope that you realize this evening that God loves you. He loves you. The Bible is very clear. It says, "For God so loved the world." And because of that love, He does not want you to be sick. He wants you to be healthy, right? If God loves you, it makes only good sense that He would want you to have good health. And by the way, because God loves you, He doesn't want you to be poor either. All right? Because no Christian that is right with God could possibly be poor. Now, some of you are getting ready to get up and walk out. Just give me a second, all right? But I want you to understand that there are literally millions of people that hear a message like that every single week. Millions are listening to that with no discernment whatsoever. I tell you, I got on YouTube. I don't spend a lot of time on that thing. I nearly got myself in a depressed state today after I was finished laughing on the floor after what some of these people will tell people. And we're going to talk tonight, obviously, about false prophets. Let's go ahead and read. We're going to read the first four verses of 2 Peter chapter 2. It says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." And we'll stop there. We actually won't go and get into verse 4 tonight, I don't believe. I don't even know where to start when I think about this. There are so many different heresies that attack the church today. There are cults, there are isms, there are schisms, and it's easy then to preach against things like Mormonism, which is clearly not Christian, by the way. It's easy to preach against a Jehovah's false witness when they claim that Jesus Christ is not God. But can I tell you, I don't think those are the kind of heresies that Paul is referring to here, because he is talking to believers in church, and these preachers were getting into the church to teach these things. You notice it's interesting to me that there's a transition here that Peter uses. He says there were false prophets. I think that he very well could have been talking about the false prophets that Israel had to contend with, like Balaam and things like that. But he goes on and he says, "But listen, but even there shall be false teachers." He goes from talking about prophets, those who would declare something to be true. I believe he's really talking in a prophetic sense, not what we call the forthtelling, but foretelling. And he said there were some that had claimed that God would do something, and they were false prophets, and we know that the penalty for false prophets in the Old Testament was a swift death. But he says that there is false teachers now that we have to contend with. I looked at a list of people that I am afraid that even some that are born again might listen to. I don't have an exhaustive list. I there's people on here I'd never heard of before today. Paul and Jan Crouch, which I understand are the originators of TBN. Mr. Crouch is now gone. He's not living any longer. And but Benny Hinn is still out there. You say, do you think it's right to name names? I think it's important to name names. Listen, Paul said, you better watch out for Alexander the coppersmith. You better watch out for Hymenaeus. Be careful of Demas. He left me for this present world. Paul wasn't afraid to name names. I don't think he ever did it with malice in his heart. And tonight, you know, I know when I start a message by saying I'm not mad at anyone, that's probably not a very good a sign of what's to come. But I don't hate these people. I'm not mad at them directly, but I am not happy with what they are spewing and what they are promulgating out in Christendom today. And it's important for us to be able to stand before you, and for you to be able to stand before someone you work with and be able to stand and say, listen, I'm not angry or mad at them, but they're 10,000 miles away from biblical truth. Kenneth Copeland will be talking about a little bit tonight, a fellow by the name of Kenneth Hagin, and so many more. I found a fellow by the name of Cleflo Dollar. And what they believe. It's almost satirical when you think about what they're saying to people. I watched a fellow by the name of Mike Murdoch for about 5 minutes, really just in awe, talking about $1,000 seed money. Now, I've made that joke many times, but I've never really observed somebody telling somebody else that they can make money by giving to their specific ministry. Thought about trying that with the debt relief here, you know, just send in some seed money. He was good, too, because he said, listen, the faster you get it in the soil, the faster you get a return on that thing. And he said, if you want to get rid of your credit card debt, put the $1,000 on your credit card. Unbelievable. But yet, I wonder how many thousands of dollars he made. I was just writing in a frenzy today. I don't have my notes typed out. I don't have them in order. And so I'm just going to ask for a little grace tonight as I arrange some of this stuff. The first thing I want to look at is the promise of false prophets. The promise of false prophets, or false teachers, excuse me. The promise of false teachers. The first thing that Peter gives is this promise. He says, listen, there is going to be false teachers among you. It's in the future tense. Now, I'm not saying there wasn't any when Paul or when Peter was writing this, but I want you to understand that Peter was saying, kind of like I believe the Lord was telling us about poor people, they're always going to be among you. And so you're going to have to show discernment. You will always have to show discernment. There's never a time where you will be able to sit down and listen to God's word without saying, is what they're saying biblical? I don't think that's biblical just to receive something because of the person that's saying it. I think that's dangerous. Because what you can do then is start your allegiance then to that preacher or that pastor or that evangelist instead of God. Because as soon as you say, listen, I never have to ask myself, is this biblical? Is this what God is saying in His Word? Is this really what He's meaning? You've surrendered your authority to the person that's speaking. And so, listen, you know, I enjoy listening to different preachers, but I always want to be like the Bereans. And being more noble, I want to check what they say to the Scriptures. I'm not scrutinizing. I'm not trying to say, listen, you can't trust what the man of God is saying. But listen, I want to make sure that they're not taking me in a direction that's not safe. And so Peter is telling us there's going to be false prophets among us, really, until the end of time. I believe that's what he's saying here. He said there's going to be false teachers. Not only does he give us the promise of false teachers, he kind of tells us that they're going to be stealthy in their apostasy. What does that mean? He says, who shall privily shall bring in damnable heresies. What does that mean, privily? It means secretly or stealthily. They're not going to come out. Although what I saw today, hard to imagine, that's stealthy, okay? And I'm sure what you've seen maybe on some different shows, it's hard to imagine that being stealthy, but you'll notice what I've seen is when they have a new doctrine, they don't just lay it out. They'll kind of broach it a couple of times with people, and then after it's been comfortable for a while, then they will present it as a truth. But it's stealthy. Just kind of mix in just enough truth to make it sound plausible. No lie without an ounce of truth is ever plausible. And so as they have these doctrines that they conjure up, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes, but as they spread these lies, you understand that not only is he promising that they're going to always be there, but it's not going to be always that blatant. Now, it's easy for us. I don't want to say we have more discernment than the rest of the world, but I think we're looking at some people that can understand and have some biblical discernment, and it's not hard to turn on some of these shows and say, this is ridiculous. But I want you to know, maybe there's some areas of fundamentalism that we need to be careful in. And maybe we just need to watch and make sure that what we hear is biblical. It comes in stealthily. It doesn't come in and say, listen, this is heresy. I want you to believe this. This is a new truth. I want you to believe this. It comes in and says, you know what? You may have heard this before, but let me give you this angle on it. I was, I'm not saying this is heresy, but I was at a preacher's fellowship one time, and godly man. I just have a lot of respect for this man. It wasn't my preacher, but it was a preacher that was had been in ministry for over 35 years, and he was convinced that God had a portable throne. And at that preacher's fellowship, he spent talking about Isaiah, and he was convinced of that. Now, I'm not convinced of that still, all right? He just said, I don't have time to go into it. I don't remember the entire outline, but I mean, he was convinced that God had a portable throne, and he wasn't trying to lead people astray. He believed that, but when I tell you, when I took it to my Bible, I'm just not convinced he's right about that. And I can disagree with somebody without calling somebody a heretic. But I want to make sure that what I'm receiving, what I'm going to allow into the inner sanctuary of my heart, is biblical. So it comes in stealthily. They'll state that they're biblical, but they're going to be far from the biblical truth. They're going to mix truth with error. Not only that, but they're going to be subtle in their attire. Not only will they be stealthy in their apostasy, but they will be subtle in their attire. What do I mean by that? It means they're going to dress their heresy, their false doctrine, their false teaching in religious language that you and I could understand. You know, you talk about words like justification and sanctification, and you take those and you give them different meanings, and you'll be surprised at how much of the common language that Mormons would have with us. But boy, they have there are worlds apart in definitions and meanings. But they use the same language to try to confuse those people they're talking to that understand the biblical definition of those words. And so as these false teachers are coming in, Peter is saying, listen, you're not going to be faced with flat-out heresy, but you're going to have truth mixed with error. And not only that, it's going to sound good. It's going to sound like something that is feasible and plausible. But you got to check it out. You can't just accept it. He says that not only shall they bring these damnable heresies, talking about that word damnable really carries with it the idea of destructive. What's destructive about it? I think it's destructive in people's faith. All right? Because you get somebody that starts getting on one of these charismatic shows, or somebody that is so far off of biblical Christianity, what does that do to their Christian life? It can stunt it. It can stop it. And what happens then is they're no longer growing and flourishing. Instead, it is completely destructive to their Christian life. But I'll take it a step further. I believe that the gospel that many of these people are preaching is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of health and wealth and prosperity. And somebody that gets mixed up in that will have a literal damnable heresy that causes them then to believe a false gospel. That's one of the great dangers of these false teachers. I believe there is a higher scrutiny, if you will, on those that are teachers of God's Word. Isn't that what James chapter 3, verse 1 says? It teaches that any teacher is going to be under a more stringent scrutiny by God. It says, be not many masters, right? That word masters is the word for teachers. I believe, I didn't look, but I'm almost sure it's that same word that's used here for false teachers. And so, if you aspire then to be a teacher of God's Word, you understand you are under a higher scrutiny. I don't believe that James 3 is talking about a higher lifestyle standard than normal Christians. I don't believe that. I believe although we're to be an example, we are to live a life that everyone else is to emulate. Not because we're better or more spiritual, but just as an example. But that James chapter 3, verse 1 really carries with it, I believe, the idea of a higher scrutiny or judgment from God based upon how we handle God's Word. And I can tell you, that is, for me, a very sobering truth. Because I never want to stand up here and say, you know, this is what I think about this. This is you know, my best guess at what God's trying to say here. Young men, listen to me very carefully. That's why studying God's Word is so very important before you preach God's Word. Why? Because you are God's mouthpiece to someone that has not studied or does not know. Ladies, when you study for a Sunday school class, it's not just to occupy and to babysit some youngsters. You are presenting the very truth of God to them. And as a teacher of truth, you'll be held to that standard of, did you fully represent God in the way it was intended? That's very serious. It's very serious. And so we have the promise of the false teacher. We have the prosperity of the false teachers. There's a little bit of sarcasm in that, I guess. It talks about they shall bring damnable heresies, even denying that the Lord brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So what is he saying? He's saying, what prosperity do they have to look forward to? Judgment. That swift destruction. And listen, I wrestled with a long time, is it just at judgment day? I don't think that's necessarily true. When I look at some of the most prolific televangelists over the last 20 years, I have a hard time naming one that's not been caught up in some kind of scandal and been brought down in the eyes of the world. I believe that's that swift judgment. By the way, I believe there's another reason for that. I think that when they start out, there is a lust for money and a desire for that and a desire for fame. But when you get to a certain level of exposure, you think that you are above getting caught on any of those things. It's a progression that you can find in the Bible time and again. But that's not really what we're preaching on tonight. But understand that God brings on those that are false teachers swift and just judgment. Again, that's very sobering. That's a promise that God gives. You know, it's interesting to me, as I read this passage of Scripture, he says, even denying the Lord that bought them. And we are bought with a price, right? The very precious blood of Christ. If you had to pick one person in the Bible that would explain to the rest of the world for all time what it was to deny the Lord Jesus Christ, who would you have right then? Probably Peter. Did he not deny the Lord three times? Did he not know what it is to suffer that rebuke and that pain as he wept bitterly because of that? He's saying, listen, there are some that are going to do that and they have no remorse at all about it. Peter knew all about denying the Lord Jesus Christ, but he knew what it was to be reconciled to him and to live for him and to represent God fully and truly from his word. It's no wonder that at the end of chapter 1, remember the chapter divisions were much later than when Peter wrote this, and Peter is really transitioning from the word of God, which is sure and holy and was given by the Spirit of God. And we talk about inspiration. It was not given by the will of man, but holy men of God wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. He goes from that to what? To false teachers. He's saying, listen, we've got to be grounded in God's Word. This is what's sure. This is what's holy. This is what's going to help us in our walk. And be careful of these people that are coming in. And for our generation, I would say, be careful for those that are trying to tell you about a health and wealth prosperity gospel that has nothing to do with sin or judgment. You know, we're just a small church. This will go out on the internet at some point, I'm sure. But I'll not get much exposure from this. But if you watch and look at any Bible preaching and teaching preacher that has any kind of exposure that takes a stand, you will find out that they are, if I can use the expression, murdered in the press and in the court of public opinion. Because it's not popular today to have a stand on what we would call judgment. Well, you shouldn't judge somebody. Well, that's true, but God tells us to judge righteous judgment. And so it seems that I don't know where people learn it, if it's Sunday school, if it's a little atheist school or what, but everybody in the world knows thou shalt not judge. That's one Bible verse everybody seems to know, taken out of context, obviously. And certainly we are told that we ought to be inspectors of the fruit of the Spirit, and we ought to be especially looking at our own lives, but we can judge righteous judgment. So we're promised the prosperity, or not, excuse me, the uh, uh, The promise of the false teachers is given. The promise of the prosperity of the false teachers. Kenneth Copeland, who is famous for the name it and claim it phrase. I had a pastor who would say, you know, this kind of preacher is the blab it and grab it type preacher. But thinks you can just, if you speak it, it'll come into existence. And he said at one time, he declared that he is a billionaire. He said, I'm a billionaire because the assignment that the Lord gave, he said, I want you to begin to confess the billion flow. I don't even know what that means. Okay? But I know this. His focus is on what? Finances. On finances. I want to make this very clear. That these prosperity gospel preachers must hate God. They must. If you believe your Bible is authoritative, you will believe that the money and health and health and wealth prosperity gospel preachers must hate God. Why is that? Because of Matthew 6:24. Turn your Bibles there. I was about to quote it and it just left me. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Listen, if your goal in life is to make money, you cannot serve God. And if you can, you may stand in front of others and say that you love God and that God loves you and all these nice platitudes, but if your whole motivation is about wealth, the truth of the matter is the Bible teaches that you will hate God. And I believe the truth is they do hate God because they're fearful of His judgment and they're trying to push that out of their mind. Some of them, I believe, have seared their conscience. And you say, you're awful hard on these people. Do you realize the seriousness and the gravity that God places on false teachers? Again, I'm not mad at them. I don't hate them. But we cannot stand by and say, you know what, they can just do what they want in the corner as long as it's not affecting us. We can't say that. Thirdly, I see the pursuit of false teachers. Look at verse 2 again. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Joel Osteen. He said, I believe Jesus is the way. He said, I believe Jesus is the only way to the one true God. But he said this, I believe there are many paths to Jesus. That's heresy. That's heresy. When asked on Larry King whether or not he believed that people that did not believe in Jesus would end up in heaven, he just kind of shrugged his shoulders. He wouldn't give a clear answer. He was so ambiguous that everybody just figured he didn't believe that. He said, I don't know, who am I to say? I don't think he was expecting those kind of questions from Larry King. He actually wrote an apology the next day, apologizing for his ambiguousness. But yet, there are millions of people that follow him. You know, he certainly has an uplifting message, and he's almost the same as I've forgotten this guy's name from the Crystal Cathedral, Robert Schuller. Phil Schuller is a good evangelist, by the way. Robert Schuller, and while Joel Osteen does not take it to the same degree that Schuller does in this sense, Schuller teaches very clearly that hell is simply having a bad or poor or low self-esteem. And if you don't feel good about yourself, you are living in a hell on earth, is what he would say. And so heaven then would obviously be if you are high on yourself, if you have good self-esteem. But Joel Osteen, while he does not declare that, basically that's the essence of his teaching. You know, I really... When I think about his probably best-selling book, he has five best-selling books, New York Times bestsellers, which I don't know what the number is, but you have to have so many millions of copies to get it. One of his books, he got $14 million advance before he ever wrote the book, the fourth largest advance anyone's ever gotten in writing a book, because his publishers knew whatever he put out was going to be a powerhouse. One of his books, entitled Your Best Life Now, encourages people to have a more positive attitude and an uplifting spirit. But I'm telling you, if your best life is now, you're not going to the same place when you die that I am. Because I'm looking for an even better life at the glorification. And I say that a little bit tritely. I know that's not really what he was writing about. But do you understand that if you never give somebody the bad news, there is no such thing as good news. And if somebody never sees their need for a Savior, there's no need to get saved at all. I see a delicate descent of these people that are following. That word pernicious is a very interesting word. It means harmful in a gradual way. Kind of like taking some kind of poison is what I thought about when I read that description. I didn't print it out, I didn't write it out, but I've read in the past about a man that was trying to poison his wife, and he would put just a little, I don't remember if it was arsenic, I think it was arsenic, just a little bit of arsenic in her coffee or something that would mask the taste. And she got so sick and so sick, and she finally had to go to the hospital. And they found out she was full of arsenic. I don't know what made them check, just I guess the symptoms she was having. But that's that slow, steady decline. And I think that, again, when I think about those that are following, it's not a sudden jump off the cliff. It's just a slow, steady decline in their spiritual life. And they start rejecting biblical truth for things that tickle their ears. Not only do they have this delicate descent, you notice that these people, these false teachers, if you will be truth twisters. It says, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. I'm not going to take time tonight. I have about 20 pages of different quotes from different people. We don't need to glorify what they've said. We've joked a little bit about tonight, and I made a little bit of lightness about it, but I want you to know really how serious I take it. It's an absolute abomination before God. And when you call that which is good evil, and that which is evil good, just like it says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, you are then calling the very gospel that saves people wickedness because you are condemning people. That's where most of these teachers are at. Be careful. I think I'm talking to people that I think have a fairly good idea already, and I hope that you're not sitting there. Listen, I wouldn't even advise watching TBN as entertainment. I used to tell it, listen, if you want a good time, watch a half hour of that, and you can go to bed with a smile on your face. But after really studying some of this stuff and realizing the seriousness and the gravity that God takes it as far as these false teachers, you need just to be 10,000 miles away from these people. You don't need to let them have any kind of influence on your life. Not only is it a delicate descent, just something that is slow, but they're truth twisters, but look at why they're doing it. They're greedy for gain. They're twisting this truth, and it says, and through the covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. That covetousness is a greedy desire to have more. You know, I'm just going to hammer on Joel for a little while. They take in yearly around $42 million from the collections that they get at the Superdome or whatever it is that they bought up there. Another $30 million is mailed into them every year. It's about $72 million. And he's not even asking for money the same way many of these other health and wealth prosperity gospel preachers are. I saw one report that said TBN hauls in at least $100 million every year. $100 million. Dollars of people sending their money in because they're hoping that's going to get them some kind of blessing. They've been duped. And why is somebody doing it? Because they love money. Because they love money. I'm not against somebody getting up and saying, listen, we have needs. There are some things that, as a matter of fact, you know, we just took a special offering. Praise the Lord for that. But you'll never hear that if you give me $10, you're going to get $100. Now, there's a balance. I believe that the Lord wants to bless, and when we're too tight to give, I believe He's going to withhold His blessing. But I think you can teach sound financial stewardship without teaching a health and wealth prosperity gospel. God does want to give, and I believe that He wants us to be giving. And when we are blessing others, He looks for ways to bless us. Now, there's no doubt about that. But when you make that the cornerstone of your ministry, when that's all that you can focus on, and it's not because you want somebody to be blessed, it's because you need a new car or you need a new jet plane, let me tell you, that's 10,000 miles away from what God is wanting us to teach. He talks about not only the promise of false teachers, the prosperity of their false teachers, which is destruction, the pursuit of false teachers, which is the delicate descent, the truth twisters, the greedy gain, but also the manufactured message. Look what it says. It says, with feigned words. You know what that word feigned is? It's like plastic. It's a word we get plastic from, something that can be molded. You see, they take their message and they mold it to whatever their need is, however it's going to fit their message. Listen, we better be very careful. We call that eisegesis when we study the Bible. When we put into it what we want to see. When we study the Bible, we need to be careful to exegete or to draw out what God has said. And so as we study, we realize that we can't have a preconceived notion, although we will always come to the Bible with some kind of bias, but we try to put that aside so we don't tell God what we believe. We let Him tell us. It says, with feigned words, this manufactured message, really, it almost as though they have conjured it up right out of the blue. And if you listen to some of the stuff that I have there, you'd understand. It's just so fanciful, so incredibly unbiblical. Listen, I watch Pat Roberts. I listened to a transcript of Pat Robertson. Somebody called into the 700 Club, and they said, my friend has is a husband of an Alzheimer's patient, and she's been gone for many years mentally, and she's getting ready to be institutionalized, and this man has started seeing other women. What should he do? Now, I don't know what your position is, but I'm going to tell you, Pat, the last thing you should ever tell somebody is to go divorce somebody. And that's exactly what Pat Robertson said. He said he needs to divorce and start all over again. Let me tell you, that is a damnable heresy. You're destroying the very fabric. His co-host, she said, what about in sickness and in health, till death do us part? And he started fumbling over his words for a moment, and he just decided that she was dead as far as the person she used to be. I believe there'll be great judgment for that. Great judgment for that. But they manufacture that which suits them. I want you to be careful on this as well. As you study the Bible, as you teach the Bible, as you preach the Bible, as you have a Sunday school class, you be careful to allow the convictions that you have come from God's Word and not your own life experiences. I know good men, that have held a position from the Bible for years until something has happened to their family or something in their circumstances in life changed, and suddenly I have this new revelation and really God didn't mean that after all. And I'm going to tell you, we are all privy to that kind of temptation. I'm not exempt from it, and you're not exempt from it. And so if you have a conviction from God, you write it down in your heart, and you beg Him to make sure that is what He has said, and then you hold fast to that. Don't manufacture your message. And then finally it says to make merchandise of you, to take advantage of you. It's what I call bilking the believers. I've already talked about the money that they're making. Just a few years ago, Congress was going to get involved and they started a very serious inquisition to, I think, probably five of the biggest prosperity gospel preachers. I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure what Senator Grassley came up with, but I know that when the world is looking at something like that, do you know ultimately who gets a black eye? Christians. We all do. I'll tell you the honest truth. When I got saved, my sister said, are you talking about born again? I said, yeah, I've been born again. She's like Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. And I didn't really know them at all. And I said, I knew enough to know I didn't want to be associated with them. I said, I hope not, you know. But just as soon as I called myself born again, as soon as you still call yourself a Christian, the people that have been influenced by these false teachers then will have already a preconceived idea of what you believe. That's why it's no wonder that this nation calls itself, that 80% of this nation would identify themselves as Christian. And I believe if you go knocking on doors in Shelby, you're going to find out it's more than 80%. But I promise you, not 80% of the doors that we knock on have people that are saved, born again, true believers of Jesus Christ on the other side of that door. And I'm begging the Lord to show us how that we can get past that false profession and to show them the truth without pushing them away from the Lord. I don't have the solution yet. How hard do you push? What phrase can you use? You know, I know it's all in the Holy Spirit and He has to be working, but I'm just begging God, Lord, show us, because I want to see somebody saved, not somebody that is content to have believed that they're part of a church somewhere. Damnable heresies. And the last thing I want to look at is the problem for the false preacher. It's interesting to me, twice in this passage of Scripture, God promises the very one thing that in our society today is not being preached. Judgment. Judgment. Well, listen, you can't preach judgment because, listen, you'd have to be condemning someone. You're going to have to judge somebody in order to do that. And God says, not only is there going to be swift destruction, but I'm telling you now that a long time lingereth not. Let me tell you what that means. It means that God's judgment and His wrath has been rolling all through history. You can go back to the flood. You can look at Lot. You can look at all through ages that God's wrath has been given to men, and it has not fallen asleep. That means God's judgment and His wrath is still with us today. And I'll tell you, that is not popular at all in our world. Because when we talk about a loving God and we talk about the grace of God, we rarely hear anybody talk about the wrath of God. But He says, whose judgment now a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And it carries with it the idea that their judgment is not going to be put on. That one day, when they stand before God, I believe they will receive the wrath of God. And I'm saying they, because it's my prayer that when we pick up the Bible, and the people that are under the sound of my voice tonight are going to be careful and prayerful about dipping out of God's Word what He has said and not putting in and manufacturing what we need Him to say for us. You understand what I'm saying in that? We can't manufacture a message that God didn't give. That's the same as being a false prophet. And it certainly is true of being a false teacher. You know, it's not only people on the TBN channel that are professing false beliefs that are affecting millions of people. I think of people like Oprah Winfrey and some of the celebrities that have taken on this Scientology, and they are professing and teaching, and if you will, even Oprah is preaching heresy to millions of people. I'll be honest with you, as I contemplated this message today, I wondered to myself, how are people so easily brought in to this false teaching? And I fear it's because they're not hearing the truth of the gospel. Because truth, when compared with error, I believe, dispels the darkness. And so I think that not only do we have to be careful in our preaching and our teaching of God's holy word, but it's our job then to get out the truth in whatever way we can. I'm thankful we have the internet ministry that can get this out to some of our missionaries to be an encouragement to them, and maybe at some point being able to get it to people that need to hear the gospel. We've got our website on several things. Praise the Lord for that. We're knocking on doors. We're trying to get the gospel out, trying to fight error. We're having days to bring people in. We're doing something to get the gospel out because the society in which we're in is filled with error. And I think that's the solution. Not only do you study study the Bible to know the truth so you don't get caught up in that, not only do you study your Bible so that you can share it with somebody that is faithful, you study your Bible so you can share it with somebody who maybe has never heard the real gospel before. I was talking to a pastor this week had an interesting testimony. He said, I have a man that's been going to a church in this area for 50 years. 50 years he's been going. Well, maybe he's 30 years he's going to the church. Maybe he's 50 years old. Started going to a church that preaches the gospel. He said, I've never heard the gospel presented like this before, that I was a sinner and needed a Savior. He's in a Southern Baptist church for 30, maybe 50 years. Listen, we need to get the truth out there. Not just 2 hours on Saturday, not just a visit on Tuesday nights, but when we're out, listen, give a track out. Give somebody the truth. Help them to see that they're being deceived in whatever they believe if they've not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I think that we need to be careful, and I need to be careful, of our attitude towards those that are false teachers. We're not to show hatred, but we need to stand firm in the faith. And the culture and the lost world is eating this stuff up because it's exactly what they want to hear. But we'll stand for the truth, and we'll let God defend us. And so we'll look at the penalty some more for false teachers in probably next week, Lord willing, when we look at some of the descriptions that God gives in verses 4 and following.